And Jim, if the Lord gives you a prophetic word, tell him to start the tape so we can get it on the tape, okay? All right. All right. Praise the Lord. You know, the title to my sermon today was going to be God All in All. So maybe that's why he's wanting me to do this with testimonies. I'm going to start off here with Bob. And Bob, just go ahead and share your testimony.
Let me take it.
Just don't hit me with it.
Short testimony. Everybody hear me? 2 weeks ago, I got prayed for. They found a tumor in my heart. They found it because my heart's out of rhythm. I got prayed for the tumor, and that my heart would beat in a normal rhythm. And long story short, when I went in the hospital, they did another echocardiogram so they could see the heart. They put a tube down my throat so they could get a better picture of the tumor and check for any clots. Well, you're awake when they do this. You're a little drugged up, medicated. And the doc, when he did it, he kind of had a surprised look on his face without going into too many adjectives. The tumor had disappeared. And he had I don't know if you've ever seen one of those, but you can see the heart pretty clear. And they do it when you're beating. And he brought, on the computer, he brought up the original echocardiogram, and you can see it on the computer, and then on the machine, there's nothing there. So, yes, that's it. They're trying something different. They shocked me, and I converted to a normal rhythm for about 30 seconds, and then I went back, and that was kind of an accident. If you've ever heard of anyone getting cardioversion, they usually knock you out. Well, the nurse accidentally hit the button, and I was wide awake, and then I was even more wide awake. Believe me, that's better than coffee. So I'm getting shocked again, I believe, a week from Monday. I'm on medicine for the next week, to antiarrhythmic, to try to do it. But I'd like to thank God for making the tumor disappear. I told Clyde if there was one time I needed a camera is with the doc and the nurses and my future daughter-in-law's a doctor. She was watching the procedure. Their mouth. Because the doc, you know, the doc's doing one of these back and forth between the two screens. He looks at me and goes, "Your tumor's gone." I'm like, "Okay, take this thing out of my mouth." So I would like to publicly thank the Lord. And amen. Praise the Lord. And thank you all for your prayers. I know I can always count on you guys. Always.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. One question for you. Did you tell the doctor that the Lord had healed you?
I was too drugged up.
Tell him when you go back. Maybe that's why he left you out of rhythm.
Yeah,
he wants you. He wants you to witness.
I see Monday.
Yeah. Tell him.
When I went back Thursday, because I got accidentally shocked when I was awake, I think the hospital was afraid I was going to sue him, and he went through a long dissertation.
Well, they check your rhythm before they shock you, right?
Oh, I'm on a monitor.
No, I mean, yeah, okay. When you go back, you testify and tell him what God did for you.
Okay,
and when you do that, don't be surprised if your heart don't go back in rhythm.
Okay, I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Now, Steve, I'm going to let you give your testimony. You can do it. Come on. Come on, Steve.
Well, it's last few weeks have been really rough for my daughter. She went through ready to give birth at any second to all of a sudden Friday night, Saturday morning, the doctor came in and he said it's everything's been reversed, the cervix is closed up and the water's back where it's supposed to be and the cord's not wrapped around the water to maybe be going home and sitting in bed for and maybe delivering at the right time, which is really a miracle. So I do praise God, and all the prayers and everything is really hitting home, and all the glory, and it's really a miracle.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. And, And just for the people out there that listened to this that didn't know, how many weeks was she originally when her water broke? She was 23 weeks and her water broke and she started to dilate. And they took her to the hospital, and that's pretty sketchy there. But you know, even the Lord had given them a word that this baby was going to be a special baby. And I believe it's going to be a special, special baby. Praise the Lord. And God does wonderful things. And we don't understand sometimes why he does things the way he does, but he knows, and he'll get glory out of it. Praise the Lord. Anybody else got a testimony out here today? Praise God.
I want to testify. I've been asking prayer for Jordan DeArmond. He's the grandson to the woman I sit with. And Brother Oscar and Margaret went to visit him because I told you how the car stopped and they were on the way back right Westchester. He was in the hospital down here, and they said they were going to send him to OSU. He's been in there several times. He's got tube feed, a bag on his back. He's 28 years old, and he's got all these, you know, problems. And Brother Oscar and them prayed for him. He went from here to a hospice hospital in Troy, Ohio. And all the family came in. They called all the family in, and everybody came to see him. Well, they sent him home, and hospice has been coming in, so I get to see him every day when I'm there. He looks altogether different. God has touched him. He's gained 16 pounds. He's gained 16 pounds. He's been eating. I just look at him, and I said, you know who's done this? He said, I know God has done this. He's just a testimony to his family that they all came in. They came from out of town and everything and came over to that hospital, and they sent him home and said there's nothing else could be done for him. And he's been at home. I sit and talk to him, pray with him, and it's just wonderful. I just want to thank everybody for their prayers. Continue lifting it up. He's been on Facebook telling everybody about the weight he's gained. He put pictures on there, and he knows it's God that has touched him. I thank all of you for your prayers. Continue remembering their family, because he's sure been a witness to him. He said, I'm going to get saved. I've already been thinking about it and talking about it to the Lord. And I said, and man, a friend of his is a Christian that came in, and we prayed with him. And he said, I want to do it at church. And I told him he could do it anywhere, anytime, right now. But this is his desire, and I know he's wanting to do it as a witness to all those at church when he does do this. So continue. His name's Jordan. So continue. Thank you all.
Praise God. Yeah, you know, Jim's always, over the years, has always told Brenda that she's a minister, and she truly is, because she ministers to tons of people up in that area, and he was telling me how much he loved her and what she meant to him, and you know, he knows that all you guys pray for him, and, all, you know, he knows that, you know, and he's very thankful and very, very respectful of you guys. He loves you a lot. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? I know there's some other testimonies out there.
This one's a little different, but I worked a 10.5-hour shift yesterday, and I was inside, not outside, pushing carts for about 10 hours and 25 minutes out of that. I've been waiting for that for a while.
And Parker, they normally don't let you run a cash register for a long time, and that job was beating him up a lot because he was having to lift all kind of things and everything like that. And you know, he'd kind of decided that you might quit the job, and they put him on a cash register without asking. But he'd kind of been praying about that a little bit, and God answered that prayer. Praise the Lord. But you know, God does. You know, folks, that word that Jim gave, it's a shame we didn't get that on the beginning of the tape. God is going to start doing some miraculous things amongst us. And it's not that we're the fishes and loaves crowd, because we're not about that, but we're about him receiving glory and about his honor. And I know we've all questioned at times, you know, we're into a deeper truth message here, and we've all questioned at times, Lord, send the power, because, you know, it's if the power isn't demonstrated by the Holy Spirit, then a lot of times the words are just the words, you know. But the main thing is that that word will cause you to grow up. And that's what our crux of our desire here is, to see the body of Christ grow to maturity. And we want to see all of you grow to the fullness of the ministry that God has for each one of you. And you're all ministers. It's not just the person that's standing up there behind the pulpit as a minister. You're all ministers. And he wants you all to fulfill whatever he's called you to do. And, you know, I've been telling you that for the last few months, if you've really heard what I've been saying to you. And I'm encouraging you, because so many times we have a tendency that we think, oh, let the preacher do it, or let the elders do it, or something like that. And a lot of times that isn't who God's calling to do something. He's calling you. And that's like when we have someone come up here for prayer or anything. If you feel like God wants you to come up here and pray, come on. You're invited. I'm not telling any of you that just the elders. When I call for the elders, you all can come if you feel like that's what God's telling you to do. But I want you all to just move and flow, because I'm telling you, you might be the one that has the healing in your hands that day. You might be the one that has the prophetic word. You might be the one that has the word of knowledge, or whatever that person needs that particular day. And I'm going to tell you, it's time that that we begin to move and flow in the gifts of the Spirit, but we do it in such a way that it's all revolved around the love of God and the mercy of God, not about big I's and little U's type stuff, because that's the way it's been done in times past with a lot of ministries. It was the big ministry. Well, I got news for you. The days of the real big ministry are just about over. God's going to move and flow through his people, and he's going to begin to. You got one, sis? All right.
Say, but other than I feel led by God.
Well, go ahead.
Someone, I felt like they were saying, if you never had the Spirit of the Lord baptize you, is that what they said?
Yeah.
I mean, I've been baptized in the water,
yeah,
but not the Spirit. I never have. Yeah. And I thought they said, come forward and
yeah,
have
right.
people pray and
right.
lay hands on you. And I want to do that.
Okay.
I just want to.
All right. Well, we'll do that right now. Just some of you gather around here. Okay, lay your glasses down, because God might knock them off otherwise. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. God bless you.
What it takes, I take it.
Yeah, just God bless you. Well, first of all, I want to tell you that it's the Father's good pleasure to give you his Holy Spirit. And I believe his Spirit's dwelling inside of you, but maybe you just haven't been released in it yet. And all it really takes is for you to get past your mind and just begin to start praising God and just let flow whatever flows out. And don't think about it. Just let God bring it right out of you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you right now to release this sister in the Holy Spirit. And Father, she's seeking a prayer language that she can even magnify you in a greater prayer language. And when she don't know how to pray, she can just begin to speak in that heavenly language. And Father, right now, in Jesus' name, we speak a word of release to this sister. And sister, just begin to just speak out whatever, just let it go.
Please, me, Lord, help me, help me.
Just release her into your spirit right now, Father. Hallelujah. You said if your son asked for a fish, you wouldn't give him a stone, Father. She's asked for a release in your Holy Spirit. Just let it go.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus. I got it.
Yes, hallelujah. Praise God.
Yes, you do.
Amen.
I got it. Okay, I got it.
Praise God.
I didn't know what it was. I got it.
Hallelujah.
Received the Holy Spirit, it was such a strange thing, but I was just by myself at home, and I was talking to the Lord, and I said, well, Lord, I believe it, I know it, and all of a sudden my hands went up in the air, and oh boy, it came out, and I thought I was never going to stop, and then it was almost, I can something like 5 or 6 years. I'm not kidding you. This is the strange part. I never did it again. And one day I was praying for somebody, and I prayed everything I knew to pray, and I knew there was something else. And I thought, all of a sudden, I heard something. Pray in your prayer language. And I let. Oh my God! It was just.
Yeah.
It was just her letting
go. Just let it go. Just let it go. Yeah, that's right. Don't think about it. Just let it come. Just let it come. Yeah. That's right.
Okay. You'll love it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Praise God.
When you go home, be quiet.
Thank you.
Before the Lord, and just let it flow.
Okay. I was saved, but I felt this is the way I was taught. It was almost like that was the finish line. Like salvation was the end.
Yeah.
And it's like I never really learned much after that. Yeah. I mean, I knew the Bible, but I never was taught about. Yeah. The gifts of the Spirit.
Well, and God will begin to flow, and He'll whatever gifts He's called to release in you, He'll release them in you. Just wait before the Lord, and just let it flow.
I want to thank my friend Debbie, because she's the one who sort of introduced me to the whole situation. Yes, sir.
Well, you've been taught, sister, our rules, but this is a relationship. It's going to be a point where it stops being you and starts being God.
Yes.
You and me, and me and them.
That's right. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
God bless you. God bless
you. Thank you so much.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Yes.
Okay, this testimony is pretty much twofold. Our friend Dale, who pretty much was a non-believer, pretty much an atheist, because he had a rough life and his son died. December 22nd, got diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. And since then, he's had chemotherapy and direct brain radiation. It had spread to his lower back and his brain, and he was stage 4. So he just got done with all of his treatments, and his final doctor's appointment was last week. And the doctors will not use the word remission or miracle. They will not. However, they told Dale and his wife that he is going to go into the database because of his extraordinary recovery. There's no spots in his lower back. His brain is virtually clear for the most part. They say it's been resolved. Everything's been resolved. That's how they word it. And even though Dale's still stage 4, they told me he can resume his normal life activities, like biking, golfing, going back to work part-time and things like that. And really the best part of it is he has been going to church, and you know, he's almost there. He's there. He's at least open to God and Jesus. And he told his wife that he does want to be actually baptized. So before, you know, he didn't want any part, but he found out the power of prayer, because everybody they know has been praying constantly. All of us, the radio program, everybody. And he finally has succumbed to... It's not modern medicine, it's just the prayer and everybody in his life. Yeah, so he's like remarkable. I mean, we're going to have dinner with him next week, and he's like, you would never even know that he has stage 4 lung cancer.
That's wonderful. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, and when he was at his darkest point is when he turned on the radio program and we were praying for him. And he didn't call in or anything, but he received. Praise the Lord. I was asked to a Bible study last Wednesday, and a Bible study full of engineers. So you can imagine the challenges that God has with those people, because they want to see it all. So Lord led me to, of course, John 3, and I asked him the question, are you born again? And not one of them said yes. And the one guy stepped up and said, well, I believe in God, but I'm having a trouble with Jesus. I'm having trouble with Jesus. You know, I believe in God. And this guy reads the Bible. He prays. He, you know, I mean, this is a guy that's seeking. And on Wednesday, he found. Lord led me to, of course, the faith verse, or the faith chapter in Hebrews 11. You know, that, and this is what he got. You know, in the King James, it says, now faith. He got some now faith because he said, so it's this faith thing is, you know, the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. He said, you know, because he's an engineer, he's got to see it, he's got to touch it, he's got to be able to manipulate it, move it, and whatever. So he said, so, and he came up with this on his own. I know it was the Lord giving him, giving this to him. He said, so there's a difference between knowledge and faith. He said, I've got the knowledge of Jesus, but I just don't have the faith of Jesus. And he said, now I get it. I've got the faith. And I read to him in the message, and this is really good, Hebrews 11, verse 1, the fundamental fact of evidence, or of existence, the fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. I just thought it was a neat way of putting it. But anyway, praise the Lord. Pray for Dan. He got the revelation, and it was just interesting. I mean, this guy's probably been reading the Bible for years, and he says he prays every day. And he has no problem with God, but he just couldn't get a hold of this Jesus thing. How can God and Jesus be one and be, you know, Jesus here and talking to the Father in heaven and whatever? And so it's interesting to see that, you know, God is working, you know, all around. And I truly believe that Wings is going to be, what a powerful place. And it's not necessarily going to be in these four walls here. You know, it's going to be everywhere we go. I mean, you're going to be asked to do Bible studies. You're going to be asked to speak. You're going to, I mean, this is the nucleus, and it's going to be spread out from here all over the world.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. You know, that's the thing about a lot of people. They think they don't have faith. But Scripture tells us that to every man there's dealt a measure of faith. But sometimes that faith just hasn't been activated. And I'm going to tell you, some of you guys are going to be the activators. God's going to use you to activate that faith in other people. And as he uses you to do that, then there's going to be all of a sudden, this guy's very educated, as you're talking about, but yet he's used to seeing, building things with his hands and things that he can figure out. Well, the Holy Spirit is like the wind. You can't figure out the wind. One day it blows this way, and the other day it blows that way. And you know what? You don't see the wind, but you see the effect of the wind. And that's the way God is. You don't always see God in that sense, but you see the effect that he has on other people and on other lives and even in your own life. But thank God that he's starting to move and flow through our people. And I honestly believe you're all ministers in here. I mean, we want you all to grow to the fullness of everything that God has for you. And he's going to start using you more and more and more if you'll just be obedient and do what he tells you to do. Anybody else? Okay, Debbie.
About my friend Donna here. She lives in Cleveland, Ohio. God has his perfect timing. He knew she was going to be here. The first song that we sing is God is an on-time God. He is. He has his perfect timing. It's not by accident she's here. It's not by accident you guys had made that comment about the Holy Spirit, because the last time we talked, she says, I'd like to know about this baptism of the Holy Spirit thing. Here she is. I mean, you know, she's not shy. She goes for prayer. Everything's just perfectly just fits into God's plan, and it's so nice to have her here. And we've known each other for more than 50 years, and she still comes down here, so.
We still like each other.
So it's just, like I said, God's, you know, he's got his perfect timing, and it just fits, you know, like a glove.
I asked you, did he say to come down? Because if they didn't say it, I said God told me to come down.
Yeah, that's right. Amen. Well, let me tell you something else. A lot of times we'll have a need and we'll sit back and we'll say, okay, Lord, send somebody to minister to me. Well, that's not really the way it works. There's times when God will do it that way. But he says if there's any sick among you or if you have anything among you, let them call for the elders. And when you call for them and they come forth, it says, and let them pray the prayer of faith and the Lord will raise them up. And see, a lot of times we sit back. I've had people sit back and they've had problems and I've heard them say, well, if the elders were so spiritual, have you heard that before, even Clyde? If the elders were so spiritual, why didn't they see this or why didn't they know this was happening? Why didn't you tell them? They might have come and prayed for you and got you out of that situation if it was God's purposes and his will. But so many times we're sitting back just waiting for God to do something. And a lot of times he's saying, seek, ask, knock, come on. It's there. It's available. You know, praise God.
Oscar, I'd like to say that, you know, I'm not sure how many of you if this is affecting, but if we practice the presence of God and praising God just because he's God, I mean, our reason for praising him should be because he's God, not because he's got his blood over somebody, not because he's taking care of this or he will take care of this or down the road, whatever we need, like he's Santa Claus. He's God. He's an awesome God. And if we just practice his presence and get into a place to where when we're praising him, when everything or anything happens to your family or loved ones, you'll see his hand in it because he's God. So you won't say, oh, this terrible thing happened or this happened or whatever. But when things happen, you'll start praying for the people that caused them to happen. And then you'll realize God's the one that caused them to happen. See, we got to start looking through God's eyes. And the only way we can do that is to practice his presence and say, God, you're in charge. We exalt you because you're in charge. We exalt you because you're God. And you know what? I think he loves that. You know, that's another song we sing. I exalt you.
Yeah, you know that thing about practicing his presence. The way you practice the presence of God is by acknowledging the presence of God. By saying, God, I know you're in control. God, I know you're with me all the time. Lord, whether I feel you or I don't feel you, you know, whether I feel the tingle around me or I don't feel the tingle around me, you're there. You know, and that's the way you practice, by acknowledging him. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he'll direct your paths. And that's what we have to do. Praise God. Anybody else? Yes, Goldie. Praise the Lord.
I just want to share it. I think I've shared this several times before. But when we was in on Elmwood, God gave me a vision of wings. And we were out like this. And I saw the church out like this. But there was a big fountain in front of the church. And people were going into the church, but they were coming out filling their cups with the water in the fountain and moving on. That's what wings is about. We are the water. We're the fountain. People will come to you to get their cups filled and move on. You know, not to hold them, but to let them move on. And I saw that at that time. I didn't fully understand. I just knew that they were coming. I see these people coming and going. But there were groves of people coming and going. Nobody was staying in the building. Everybody was going inside and back out. That's where the ministry of each and every one of us is, out there. The people who you're around every day. It doesn't have to be a group. It doesn't have to be something that you started. It don't have to be a prayer line. It don't have to be any. It's just being who you are. And each and every one of us have a different gift that God has given us to use to other people. We are one body, but we have different functions. The hand functions different than the feet. The eyes, the nose, the ears are all have different functions. Even the mouth, we all have different functions, but it's still from one body. And that's what we are, one body. Like that fountain was one fountain sitting in the middle of the courtyard. And people were, just droves of people were coming with cups. And they would go into the building, but they would come back out and fill their cups.
Praise God. You know, in the book of Revelations, when John had his vision of Jesus Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ, and it's not the revelation of the beast, it's not the revelation of the end times, it's not the revelation of everything that everybody says it's out there. Read the first part of it. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And see what he saw as he saw the Lord. He saw, you know, hair white like wool, eyes like a flame of fire. And he goes on and describes his breasts were girded about, as it were, with gold. You know, and it keeps describing him. And then it says, and his voice was as the voice of many waters. Many waters. And I want you to know those many waters are inside of you because you're the body of Christ. See, people will say, people use terms in the religious circles out there and they don't even know what they're talking about half the time. They'll say the body of Christ, and yet they don't believe that Jesus Christ in them is the hope of glory. They don't believe that they're a part of his body. And where he's going to appear is in his body. He's going to appear in you. That's why it says in Romans, the 8th chapter, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed not to us, but in us, it says. And all creation is going to be set free into the glorious liberty of being the children of God as he brings that thing to the fullness. We're all part of that body. You know, we used to get a prophetic word down at the old church, and I bet that prophetic word came forth, I don't know, maybe, I'm going to exaggerate, maybe 100 times. It probably wasn't 100, but many, many times. And the word was that we were called to be a watered garden. A watered garden. Now, let me tell you what. Lately, we've been trying to do a little whatever you call it, around your house, redoing the flowers and things. I can't even think what you would call it. Landscaping, yeah. But, you know, you can see I'm doing it reluctantly. I can't remember the word. But anyway, we're doing some of that. And, you know, we go out to these garden stores, and they have all these beautiful, lush flowers and all these beautiful, lush trees. And you know what I see them doing continuously? Watering them. Constantly watering them. And that's what keeps them so lush and so beautiful. And I got news for you. Creation out there, they're dying of thirst. They're dying of thirst. And as we come forth and begin to water them, we're going to see a life that was looked like it was dead and looked like it had no life in it. All of a sudden, you're going to start seeing life come into it. And you're going to see a beautiful flower or a beautiful tree, you know. And that's what God wants us to do. That's the ministry he's partially called us to do, to be people that water other people. He said, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And that's not just, those aren't just quaint sayings, but that's exactly what God's going to do. He's going to make his people, you're going to be that fountain that Goldie's talking about. Praise the Lord. Yes, sure.
This is a scripture the Lord gave me. I've been trying to memorize it because I thought it was so good, but I'd just like to share it. Praise the Lord. This is in Isaiah 41, around the 10th verse or somewhere like that, and it's the Lord speaking through Isaiah to his people, and the Lord says, "Who is it that does this mighty deed? It is I. I direct the affairs of generations of mankind as they pass by. I am the first and the last. It is I am he." But it just puts forth a thing that it's God in control. And this is what we need to know so much when these, just like I said, when we lost this precious young woman to drugs. You know, we've got to just, no matter what, we got, God's in control, and he's going to, it's going to be for his glory, and we have to believe that. That's our part of it.
Thank God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? You got something, Jim?
Just a little word of admonishment, actually. Not too good. The definition of the word admonishment means to... He admonished the people, he advised them, he recommended, he gave them the riot act. So admonishment is kind of a, it's a wonderful thing, but it's listen up too, is what the Lord's saying. And we're saying a lot of wonderful things here this morning, you know, about healing and being the body of Christ and the blessings of God and so on and so forth. But the Lord is showing me, just like the kid that had the loaves and the fishes, Jesus said, give me that little bit that you've got. And wings is the loaves and the fishes, okay? Give me the little bit that you've got. And then he took it and he multiplied it and gave it to his disciples. And we're also the disciples of Christ, amen? We're not just believers. God is looking for disciples now, not just believers. We got a whole room full of believers here. God wants disciples, amen. Okay, to go and make other disciples. So when he took the loaves and the fishes, and he broke it and he gave it to the disciples, what would have happened if the disciples would have said, well, praise God, just sit down and start eating? There was 5,000 other people out there. But they just, if they would have just sat there and just ate the fish and ate the bread and said, I feel good, bless God, we're out of here, boys. No, but as they broke it, there was more, and there was more, and more, and God gave the increase. And I hear the Lord admonishing our fellowship this morning saying, you have everything it takes. I'm going to bring healing bread to this house. I'm going to start healing in this house. But I want you to take that bread to the nations. I want you to take that bread to people in the workplace. I want you to take that bread to people in your household. I want you to start inviting them here. Now, this is not about gathering numbers to this church. God knows, if anybody's been here as long as we have, 30, 40 years, we've never been about gathering numbers and nickels and noses, okay? But we're in an hour where the Lord is saying, you got your PhD, now go use it, all right? And bring the people in here. Break the bread that I'm breaking with you. You're hearing about healings this morning. This is just the beginning of this artesian well, this artesian healing well that's starting to flow around here. And it's going to continue to flow. But I tell you something, if we don't take it to the nations, it's not going to flow. It's not going to flow. We've got a responsibility in hearing this word. This is a wonderful word. And it's great to say praise God and get excited and high and jump all around. But there's a responsibility that comes with it too, okay? Go out and disciple the nations and bring them in here.
Amen. Amen. And that's that scripture that Jim told there about the fishes and loaves. He took them and blessed it and put it in the disciples' hands. He's blessing you and putting it in your hands. Now, what are you going to do with it? Like Jim said, are you going to sit down and just say, well, bless God, I got it? Or are you going to begin to dispense it out? Because if you look at each one of those situations, when they took back up the fragments that were left, there was way more, way more. In one place, there was 12 baskets. And that means the 12 is a number for governmental perfection.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you what. Governmental perfection in this earth, the kingdoms of this world are going to become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ when his body begins to dispense what God has given him and begins to pass it out. And what will begin to happen is that there will be an abundant amount that will come back in. And then you pass it out some more. You know, praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Okay, well, if nobody else, I'm going to read you a couple of scriptures, and then we're going to close here in a minute. Praise the Lord. Yep, we'll take up an offering. You can go ahead and take the offering, fellas. Praise the Lord. Praise God. The first scripture that I want to read you is Ephesians 1, 9, 8, 8, 9, 10, and 11. And this is what it says. It says, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. You know how many all things are? That's all things. Praise God. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The only way all are going to come to repentance is if you start giving them the ministry of reconciliation that he's called you to be in. 2 Corinthians 5:19 and 20 says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now when we are ambassadors for Christ, as though Christ did beseech you by us, pray ye in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Now I want you to know you need to start going out and telling people that God has already reconciled them. And you need to even proclaim the word, be ye reconciled. Because that's his word. Now I'm going to read you one more scripture and then we're going to close with this. This is Isaiah 45, 1 through 25. And this is a lot of scriptures, but I'm just going to read them to you. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him. I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. Now I'm going to tell you, in our day, you know what those two-leaved gates are? They're right here. Amen. Lift up your head, ye gates. Lift up your head, ye everlasting doors. And who'll come in? The King of Glory. And, mighty in battle. You know, and the battle's the Lord. It's not yours. But you need to... He's going to open the two-leaved gates, and they're right here. And it says, And I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates. The gates shall not be shut. I will go before him and make the crooked places straight, and I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut asunder the bars of iron. The gates of brass are the gates of judgment. People are judging wrong type judgment all the time, and the church is just as guilty of it a lot of times as anybody else. They're always condemning people and pointing a finger and telling them what bad sinners they are, instead of telling them the mercy, the love, the joy of Christ and what he's done on Calvary. It's already been accomplished. When he said it's finished, it was finished. All they have to come to the realization of who and what he is, and who and what he did for them, and who and what they are in him. Praise God. And that bars of iron, That's people that are in that stubborn iron will that they just aren't going to move. Guess what? He's going to break them bonds. He's going to break them. Praise God. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of the secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake and Israel my elect, I have called thee by name, and I have surnamed thee, that thou hast not known me. And when he was talking about Cyrus here, This prophecy was given about 200 or 300 years before Cyrus was born. And Cyrus was the one who released Israel to go back and Nehemiah and them to go back and begin to rebuild the temple. And I got news for you. God's wanting you to be released to help build the real temple, which know you not that you're the temple of God. Amen. Know you not that you're living stones. You're built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Everybody wants to carry on about they're going to build a temple over there in Jerusalem. It ain't going to happen, folks, because you're the temple of God. You're the lively stones. And as those stones come together and fit into the places that God has for them, it's going to be a temple that's more glorious than that natural temple over there ever thought of being, because the glory of the Lord is going to shine out of the midst of that thing forever and ever and ever, which is you. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I guide thee through, though thou hast not known me, that thou may know from the rising of the sun from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let her bring forth salvation. It's going to come bring it forth as you bring it forth. And let the righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the pot shearer strive with the potsherer of the earth. Shall the clay say unto him that fashioned it, what makest thou, or why are thy works? He hath no hands. Woe unto him that saith to his father, what begottest thou, or to the woman that thou hast brought forth? For thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands command you me. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Y'all sons of God, folks, if you received him. And I'm going to tell you, he said, ask me concerning my sons. Begin to ask the Lord, Lord, what would you have me do as a son? And you know what? He's going to start telling you. Command you me. When he's saying command you me, he's saying be forceful in it. Say, Lord, I really want to know this. I'm going to keep seeking you until you show it to me, until you tell me. And guess what? He'll show it to you, and he'll tell you. Praise the Lord. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my cities, and he shall let the captives go, not for price or reward, saith the Lord of hosts. You know, a lot of those ministries out there, boy, they'll pray for you if you give them a big offering. They'll pray for you. They'll pray for healing for you and everything else. You give them a big offering, man, they'll be right there. I got news for you, folks. It's not for price. It's not for reward. The gifts and callings of God and the things that he gives you, they're free. And there's no price to them. Praise God. Thus saith the Lord, the labor of Egypt and the merchandise of Ethiopia and the Sabaeans, the men of stature shall come over to thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee in chains. And you know what? A lot of people come after you, and they got chains around their lives. They can't hardly move. They're captive. And they shall come over to thee and fall down unto thee, and shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely God is in thee. In thee. In thee. In you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. O God of Israel, Savior, they shall be ashamed and also confounded, all of them, and shall go to confusion together, that they are makers of idols. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with everlasting salvation, and you shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. And the name Israel literally has the meaning of that he shall rule as God. And when he rules as God in you, you're Israel. You're as much Israel, more Israel than the people sitting over there in that country over there. You're more Israel, because they're not all Israel, which are Israel. But in Isaac shall your seed be called, in the seed of promise. Thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it and hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord. There is none else. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I have said unto thee, seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come and draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They shall have no knowledge and set up of wooden graven images and pray unto gods that cannot save. And you know a lot of people are praying unto gods out there that can't save them. But I got news for you. You can introduce them to the living God. You can introduce them to the Savior of the world. Tell you and bring them near. Ye let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient times, or who hath told it from the time? Have not I the Lord, and there is no God else besides me. A just God and a Savior, there is none beside me. Look unto me, and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee, how many is every? Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say in the Lord, I have righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are increased against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all seed of Israel be justified and glorified. I'm telling you what, folks, this word right here is a powerful word. And you should go and read it over and over until it sinks in. Isaiah 45, 1 through 25. If you think that evil and darkness came from the devil, God said, I created light and I created darkness. He's basically telling you, he's the creator. Now that goes against a lot of what religion says out there. But I'm going to tell you, it's all for a purpose. He created the smith to blow on the coals. And let me tell you what, sometimes that old booger we call the devil, he was just created to blow on your coals a little bit. And you know what happens when you blow on the coals on a fire? You ever notice what happens? The fire rears up. And it comes up mighty. That's how you rekindle a fire. They get them bellows and they put them down there, and boy, they start pumping that thing. And you start pumping that, and all of a sudden them flames shoot up and begin to really blow. Guess what? Scripture says our God is a consuming fire, and he makes his ministers a flame of fire. You all are all flames of fire. You have the ability, as you move and flow in the Lord, to burn up the wood, the hay, and the stubble with everyone that you come in contact with as you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and do what he tells you to do. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. I'd like to just read you one more little thing, and I'm not gonna go real long here. But this here, I gave this to a few of the people that didn't have it. This here is a prophecy that was given in 1619. That's a long time ago, folks. Now listen to this. And this was found in Charles Price's papers. Charles Price had a real strong healing ministry, real strong ministry of faith years and years ago. But this was found in his papers. And I don't know where he got this. I don't know who gave this prophetic word. It doesn't make any difference because it's a word of the Lord. There shall be a total and full redemption by Christ. How much is total? How much is full? This is a hidden mystery, not to be understood without the revelation of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is at hand to reveal the same unto all the holy seekers and loving inquirers. I'm going to tell you, he said, what did he say? When I read you out of Isaiah Becker, ask me concerning what? My sons? Seek him. Ask him about it. Ask him who you are. Ask him to help you come to the place where you realize who and what you are in Christ and who and what he's called you to do. And I'm going to tell you what, he'll do that. He'll do that. Praise God. It says the completion of such redemption is withheld and abstracted by an apocryphal or revelation seal. Therefore, the Spirit of God shall open the seal after seal, so shall this redemption come to be revealed. I got news for you, folks. He's starting to take the seals off. He's starting to break the seals. And you know where them seals are? They're inside of you. Because I'm going to tell you, your epistle's known and read of men. And I'm going to tell you something else. The revelation of Jesus Christ is right inside of you. It's right inside of you. And I'm going to tell you, you know, I've shared this with you before. I told you about as they described Jesus, as John turned around and he described Jesus. Now, this wasn't, he didn't turn around and said, oh, yeah, you look just like Jesus of Nazareth. He started describing something he had never seen. And it was so glorious that he become undone, and he sort of fell down like one dead, and the Spirit had to set him up because the thing was so glorious. But what he was really seeing was the fullness of the body of Christ on the day of the Lord. And that's all of you all with his glory shining out. That's why when he spoke, the voice was as the voice of many waters. Many waters. And you know, Daniel had a similar revelation. The only difference in Daniel's revelation, he described almost the same thing back in the book of Daniel. But this was something that was to come. And when Daniel described it, he said when he spoke, his voice was as the voice of a great multitude. Great multitude. And you know what? You're that great multitude, folks. And I'm going to tell you something else. Instead of the paps being girded about with gold, back in the book of Daniel, his loins were girded about with gold. Well, why was that? Because God was getting ready to birth something into the earth. When that revelation came forth, he was going to birth something into the earth that was going to be the fullness of the body of Christ, which was going to be the church. And when it talks about his paps being girded about with gold, the word for paps up in Revelations, that's a word for female breasts. Why is that? Because he wants to take creation and he wants you to pull them up to the breast and feed them the sincere milk of the Word of God so they can grow up. So they quit being little babies out there. And I got news for you. There's a lot of little babies out there. And they need to grow up. They're telling fairy tales and all kind of stories out there that ain't even nowhere near what the Scripture says. But I'm going to tell you what, it's time for us to begin to grow up. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to read you this whole prophecy. It's really long, but it's good. But I'm going to tell you, in 16:19, you have a person saying, there shall be a total and full redemption by Christ. Wow. This is a hidden mystery not to be understood without the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And a lot of them don't have the revelation of the Holy Spirit yet. But guess what? He's going to use you to give it to them. He's going to use, and the Holy Spirit is at hand to reveal the same unto all the holy seekers and loving inquirers. The completion of such a redemption of is withheld and abstracted from the apocryphal are revealed until the revealed are the seals are removed. Therefore the Spirit of God shall open seal after seal, so shall this redemption come to be revealed. And he's going to break the seals in you. You know, Scripture tells you, you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to come a time when he even breaks the seal in you. And that promise begins to come forth. And it'll be more than just a promise. It'll be a reality. Praise God. If you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your words, for they truly are spirit and life. I thank you, Father, that the name of this message was called All in All. And Father, we just experienced all the different testimonies, all the different things that you've been doing in your body. And this was just a little glimpse of what you're doing. And you're going to do so much more as we move and flow in you. And we just acknowledge you in all of our ways. Thank you for your people. Thank you that you're causing us all to begin to grow up, Father. And I'm saying, start with me, Father. Help me to grow up more and more, to commit more and more to you each and every day. And Father, we'll be most careful to give you all praise and glory and honor. In the name above all names, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you all.